Now, Vincent Arbuckle's kindly joining us too to reflect on a warning that's been issued to the East Coast public not to collect or consume shellfish gathered from or near Tolaga Bay due to the presence of toxins. New Zealand Food Safety Deputy Director General is Vincent Arbuckle from the Ministry of Primary Industries, and he's here to explain what this means for the gathering of kaimana and where the toxins might have originated. Vincent, thank you for joining us. My name's Dale, and a warm welcome to Radio Wātea.
Kia ora, Dale. Nice to speak to you.
So, and also an aficionado of kaimoana up and down our land. So when the kaimoana beds are affected, we all have a collective sigh. But this warning's been issued regarding toxins and in Tolaga Bay. Any idea what's caused those toxins, Vincent?
Look, it's a type of algae. So it's a naturally occurring problem. So when shellfish feed on algae, some of those algae can be toxic. And there's a particular one, it's paralytic shellfish poisoning. So the shellfish accumulate the toxins from the algae, and for a period of time, they can be quite toxic. And, you know, there's quite a serious health risk. As those blooms, those algal blooms, you know, clear naturally, then the problems sort of naturally goes away. So for a period of time, it's really important that the collection of kaimoana is really considered. There are particular types of kaimoana, things like mussels and pipis, and can are high risk for that period of time.
And that period of time is?
That period of time is, so we issued the notice on the 12th of October. As soon as we got the first of these results coming through, we'll do very regular checks. And the approach that we take is that we wait till we get two clear tests, and then we can say with confidence the risk has reduced significantly. So that usually that might take perhaps 2 to 3 weeks. To really be sure that algal bloom problem has gone away.
How was it identified in the first place? Did some locals get sick?
No, thank goodness, not yet. No, we do regular proactive testing across the motu. We do testing in all areas, coastal areas where kaimoana is regularly collected, and we also do extensive, or industry does, and we oversee it. Extensive testing for commercial aquaculture beds and things like shellfish, mussel beds. So it's a very regular thing we do. We sample very regularly, and this came up as an alert on the 12th. We became aware of it. The results came in. We issued the warning on the same day.
Tēnā koe. Look, my gut feeling is it could be way off the mark too, to be honest, Vincent, is, the slash, the runoff down the hills through what's been a super challenging year for our whānau on the East Coast. But that's just a gut feeling, and I might be well wide of the mark. Was there any correlation between the byproduct of the slash or the forestry sector and the toxins you've identified?
I'm not a scientist, so I really couldn't comment apart from saying I suspect not. The algal blooms accumulate naturally from time to time. They sort of settle in an area, and then as the currents clear them away, they tend to go away. So I haven't heard of them being related in any sense to runoff or slash or anything like that. It's a different problem from when you get a problem with sewage and other things flowing off the land due to, you know, an excess of flooding. This is sort of, it is naturally occurring and does from time to time happen, and then it clears itself.
And that's what we hope will happen here. Are we naive to think it's just affecting Tolaga Bay, or is it going to be much wider than that?
We have one other warning at the moment in the Marlborough Sounds. So there's regularly, these things crop up at a reasonable frequency. We probably get, say, one every 2 months or so. So we do a localised alert, and then we do a wider media alert as well, telling everyone about it. We do also update our our recreational fishing guide to let people know. But we really appreciate the fact you've reached out this morning to let us help communicate this, because it's many people will not necessarily catch those early alerts. And I mean, this is not this type of paralytic shellfish poisoning. You can't fix it by cooking the kai, and it can be very serious. I mean, you can get paralyzed and get respiratory failure and death. So it's not just a minor gastric problem.
It's great talking with you. Any consideration of doing like dual releases? You've put a warning out, but that warning is, I don't know, it's effectively a ban. It's just warning people to say that there's toxins or an algae bloom on the kaimoana beds, but and coinciding it with, as you'd be familiar with, a rahui, which is placed by our kaupapa Māori on different areas against shellfish collection. Do you have any synergy or dual thoughts on how these restrictions or warnings could be put in place?
It's a wonderful idea, and we very much like to move towards that, because that's a much more powerful and appropriate way of communicating a concern. We're best beginning to work to work some engagement with local communities on how we can connect the sampling and the science with local iwi to enable them to do precisely what you've suggested, because we are worried that although we do our best to notify, it doesn't have the same cultural importance and power that a rahui would. And there's a very strong argument that for that period of time is an essential public safety here. This is a potentially this is a life-threatening problem. If someone copped a heavy dose, it could be very very concerning, particularly for elderly or young. So I think that's an excellent idea.
Good talking with you, Vincent. You're welcome to share kōrero on our platform anytime that you think it can help the people up and down the country. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Vincent.
Sure. Thanks, Dale. Much appreciated.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.